Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we want to welcome you to Cowboy Church this week. We're so glad you've joined us.
Yeah, when was the first time you ever went to church, Susie?
Just across the highway. We're in my house today, and we just across the highway. I used to go to church with my grandma.
Grandma had a lot of influence in your life, didn't
she? She did. She sure did. I love that old church. It got taken up north to Kiowa after a little while. But it used to be the same building that my mama taught school in.
Oh, really?
It was the temporary schoolhouse, and it came over and was our church house. Yeah.
Well, so you've been in church a lot since you was a little kid.
Well, I have. Yeah, I skipped a few years there in my adolescent days.
Your adolescent
prime? Yeah. Found other things I thought were more important, but yeah, I've spent a lot of time, yeah. I had no idea that I would do what I've done, you know, singing Christian music all through these years. I had no idea what I was gonna do. Only thing I knew as a teenager, I wasn't gonna live in the same part of the country I was raised in, because I thought it was boring.
So how'd that work for you?
Well, I'm about 3/4 of a mile away from the house I was raised in.
Yeah.
So, and I love it, absolutely love it, yeah.
So when did you actually become interested and commit your life to Christ, where church became a little more than just something your grandmother drug you to?
Well, I liked church when Grandma took me, because she'd let me play with her arms, her fan right here on her arms. Yeah, she's kind of a bigger lady, and she let me. I liked that, and the preacher was entertaining. I turned my life over to the Lord when I was when my marriage was in a really, really hard spot. And to say the least, I needed God. I needed God. And I was unhappy where I was, and He was the stability that I saw in my grandma and her life, and I wanted that.
Look, this morning, you may be that person who is in the middle of a situation that you're just uncomfortable with. I find it interesting, Susie, that most of the time, when people come to Jesus, the reason they come to Jesus is because of difficulties that's going on in their life. And so I have to realize, and we have to realize, that in viewing this program, there's a good chance that there's somebody, maybe you, sitting there listening to us, that is in the middle of the most difficult thing they've ever been a part of in their life. And I want you to know, I get this tender part. My eyes start to flood.
Your bladder is right behind your eyeball.
Tender, yeah. But you may be in a situation where life has fallen apart, and I'm going to tell you, and the reason it touches me is because I've seen it so many times that people, when they commit their life to Christ and they get involved with other Christians and they become part of the family, that their life begins to turn around, and maybe that's you today. And if your life is desperate and you're looking for a way to make it worthwhile, you're just looking for a reason to continue your life, today's your day. You're going to find some hope here today. And the hope is Jesus Christ, and a walk with Him. And He can be your friend. And He says when you become His friend, He takes you into the family. You can call God the Father, Abba, which means daddy. Man, this family deal is the right kind of family.
That's
so
right.
If your family's falling apart, if your life's falling apart, you're a Cowboy Church today. You're a Cowboy Church. We're going to welcome you in as part of the family. Let's get going at this. I'm excited.
Let's get to it. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Maybelle McCoy singing out too loud. The kids are on the front row making her proud. Betty Lou's got the old upright rocking to the rhythm of the Lord. Brother Ray's passing around the offering plate. The Billy Green family sneaking in late. Brother Paul starts preaching, and there ain't no stopping till they're all in one accord. my kind of people. Y'all remember learning that in Vacation Bible School? The souls are fed and the lost are found. Everybody's ready for dinner on the ground. Whole fried chicken and homegrown tomatoes and some Carolina tea. After blackberry cobbler and chocolate pie, the preacher calls everybody back inside for some down-home grand clapping quartet singing, My Savior God to Thee. Well, they're my kind of people. They're my kind of people. And this is the church and this is the steeple. You're opening the door, it's my kind of people. Everybody get your hands up. Let's practice this, make sure the people are on the inside. There's the church, there's the steeple. Open the door, turn it over. Make sure you wiggle them, make sure they're away. Come on.
They're my kind of people.
They're my kind of people. This is the church and this is the steeple. You open the door, it's my kind of people. It's my kind of people. Turn to your neighbor and sing it to them. You're my kind of people.
We were, okay, there was rodeo. And when we were on the rodeo circuit, we would always go in a car most of the time before they really pulled trailers and pickups. So their mom and daddy had four young kids. She had four kids in 5 years, okay? My older sister was five when I was born. So mama had her hands full. So as we sat in the back seat of that car, my mama would teach us how to sing so that we would not bother each other and fight and bother daddy. Now daddy had the mechanism. If his hand got up here on the back of the front seat, you better start shutting up. Have you noticed that kids don't get little tools like that anymore? You know, there it is. They just get louder. We got very quiet. If it dropped, it was like God parting the Red Sea. And you fought for the sides because he couldn't reach you there. And if he ever got a hunk of your leg, you were in trouble. But we learned really, really quick to obey. So that's how we started singing. And as we grew up and went to many different plays, and we sang in the bars and the honky-tonks, and then I started singing Christian music in 1984. But this is a song that I adapted to our family, and it kind of tells a little bit of a history of our family.
When Reba got a part in the Christmas play, though she only had one song to sing, Mama spent all day and called the family together. And when Daddy lost it all in a cattle deal, everybody knew we couldn't pay our bills. We never missed a meal. We called the family together. We ate a lot of mountain oysters.
Family's there to cheer us on or catch us when we fall.
They may not have all the answers, but they'll be there when you call. Like when Allison Roberts' dog named Jake ate his way through the wedding cake. We had an all-night bake with all the family together. And when Alice's baby fought for her life until we knew she'd be all right, we prayed all night and called the family together. 'Cause family's there to cheer us on or catch us when we fall. Some have gone and some remain, but but by and by we'll meet again some sweet day, all the family together. And when the wheels of time are standing still and the Father's house is finally built, the good Lord will call his family together. Ditch digger, a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, or what, we're all going to be together. Amen?
Today, I'm going to be preaching about the title of it is Just Say Yes. Just say yes. Now, how many of you know that that's really a bad idea to just say yes? So I'm not encouraging you to just say yes to everything. There have been all kinds of details about people who just said yes and the trouble that can get you into. The Bible says, let your yea be yea and let your nay be nay. So there's a yes and no balance to life, but in certain situations, and you have to know what situations to say yes to. And sometimes we get confused in the Word of God. And I will admit to you that this passage of Scripture that we have, especially the 13th verse, but I'm going to be reading from Philippians chapter 4, 10 through 13. And it says this, but rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked the opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned to both be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you today. Thank you for the promises and thank you for the challenges in your word, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I'm talking about just say yes to Jesus, it has to do with this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, I've always thought, and you know, the Bible is full of layered. There's several truths in this passage, and there's layers to these truths, and they compound. The Bible scholars tell us that there are at least 8 to 16 layers in every verse of Scripture that's in the Bible. So, you know, churches get all messed up, and they think, well, we understand this, and that's true, and the other one says, well, we understand this, and it's true, and usually it's both things sewed together that makes a higher truth. And we don't accept that. But in the Word of God, there are layers to truth. And in this, where it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The first challenge that we see in that is the obvious ones, that I can do everything if God is helping me do it. If God called me to do this, I can do it. But the thing, the second layer that I want to talk about this morning is this layer that says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And what that means, a few weeks ago, I talked about there's a concept that everything that I do, if I do it as unto God, it becomes an act of worship. And so the things that I do, if I do them as unto God, they are acts of worship. And the Bible challenges us to do everything that we do as an act of worship. And that way, what that means is everything we're doing it through Christ instead of through our own talents and abilities. So I want you to look at that for just a moment. And I have a statement to help kind of make it clear. It says, it doesn't mean I can do anything, but whatever I'm involved in, my mindset is to do that through Christ. It's to do it through his values, his principles, his direction, and his inspiration. So our job is in doing these things, We do them the way God wants us to do, and what Paul is talking about, and we're studying about the Apostle Paul because we're talking about influence, and this is one of the influences he had on the church that was being persecuted. The church was being persecuted for the cause of Christ, and so Paul challenged them in these verses of scriptures, and it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, for the care he has given to me." And then he talks about in verse 11, "I have learned whatever state I'm in to be content." Are you glad this morning that you're living where you live in the United States instead of Ukraine? Aren't you glad that you live in a place where you still have freedom? Ronald Reagan said at the end of his term at president, he said, "We have to fight for freedom because America is the last bastion of freedom, and if we lose it, the world loses it." And part of the reason we exist is to bring freedom, and that freedom is a concept that is a heavenly concept. It's not just political, it's heavenly. And when you look at the things of God and how God does things, what God says, he says, I've come to set you free. Free from what? Free from the bondages of sin. And so we can make free choices. We can talk to God freely. The sign of the enemy is when they try to control everything. And control is what this whole war is about. It's about who can control what. And we need to be smart enough to understand which side that we line up on. When it's about control, you don't need to line up on that side. When they can try to control my kids when they first went to school, we homeschooled them, and so you know the freedoms that you have at home that you don't have at school. Well, when they came home from school that first day, we asked him, "How did school go?" And all Jordan said was, "I'm not going back. Not going back." So we had been rodeoing, and every place we went, when we went to the churches, I was the guest speaker. So they treated the kids like they were something special. They thought maybe they were kind of sons to a rock star kind of a thing in the churches. You know, they got treated really, really nice. And I said, "Well, why are you not going back to school, Jordan?" He says, "Well, because they line you up like cattle in a chute, and they don't care who your dad is." You know, but if we happen to find ourselves in a situation that doesn't have the freedom to think and express the way that we're supposed to, it doesn't mean that we have to lose our salvation and our method of living. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ." And he was talking about the difficulty that he had gone through. He had gone through scourging. He had gone through hunger. He had gone through rejection. He'd gone through prison. He'd gone through all of these difficult times. And in all of these difficult times, he figured something out. And that what he figured out is that if I do anything in my life, if I do it through Christ, I end up being a successor. If I do it through Christ, I end up being a person that is not affected by the world. And so I backed up. After I read this 10 through 13, if you have your Bibles, you'll want to go look this up. Philippians 4, the earlier parts, I'm not going to read it this morning, but if you start at verse 4, you'll find this word rejoice. Now, we had this word rejoice last week. It says rejoice. That there's three items that are translated into this word, and three English words that describe this one Greek word. And this word rejoice also means to delight in God's grace. It means to experience God's grace, and it means to be conscious of God's grace. All of those expressions are what we have to describe the word rejoice. So Paul says, "I can rejoice. I can delight in God's grace in every circumstance that I'm in. I can experience God's grace in every situation that I'm found. I can be conscious of God's grace no matter how difficult life gets." And that is called rejoicing. So Paul challenges us to start with to be people that rejoice. Then he says, use gentleness. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret about gentleness. Gentleness is not weakness. I'm going to tell you that I'm telling you a lot of things this morning. I'm going to tell you that the stronger that you are, the more gentle you can be. How many of you have ever tried to take a lid off of something that's pretty fragile? And if that lid sticks, what does your wife always do? Honey, can you take the lid off of this fragile item? Yeah. And the reason it is because if you squeeze too hard and yank that too hard, you're going to bust something. It's going to fall apart or it's going to explode. So a strong person can gently ease that off using great strength. And when God calls us to be gentle, he's not calling us to be weak, soft, and sissy kind of, huh? He's calling us to be what? He's calling us to be strong so that we can apply the word of God in gentleness, in firmness, and in correctly. So Paul says you need to be gentle. How are we going to do all things through Christ? How are we going to do all things through Christ? That means in every situation we're going to face, that means we're going to rejoice and we're going to have enough of God's strength operating in our lives that we're going to be gentle. And we're going to handle this thing gentle because we have great strength. We're relying on God's great strength. Well, there's a lot of other things here, and you're not going to get them all, but if you go back and read it, you'll remember this stuff. It tells us how to deal with anxiety. Do we have a world that we have? I mean, is there a lot of anxiety in the world we live in today? It's everywhere. And if we don't have any anxiety, turn the news on. They will make sure that you have some anxiety. They will tell you how bad things are. They will tell you how disgusting people are. They will tell you how messed up everything is. They'll tell you you need to wear this to be aware of that and all of these sorts of things just to put anxiety in your life. And for what reason? Well, they want to sell something to you. Or they just want you to feel bad so you'll come back and read more out of their blog. So, but the Bible says, he tells us how to deal with anxiety, and that's in verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things give what? Thanks.
We hope that you enjoyed Cowboy Church this morning, and we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at the address on your screen. We enjoy your letters.
We get letters, we read them all.
We do. We read those letters. We don't get a whole bunch, so come on, let's have them. Let's have your opinions. Only the good comments, please.
Sure.
And we also appreciate your support. Because of you, we're on this channel. And you know what? It's not just about you. It's about people that can't go to church anymore. It's people who are shut-ins. It's people who live too far away from town to be able to go in. So thank you for making a way for us to be here for everyone. God bless you. We'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.